Right now we go to the Rumble Revolution hotline, and we talk to the man, the legend, George Mumford. We've been talking about having him on all day, so you are familiar that he is a sports psychologist extraordinaire. Mr. Mumford, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I was trying to give you a properly lengthy introduction, so I don't know. I appreciate you coming on with us today.
Yep, my pleasure.
So I guess we talked last week a little bit about sports psychology, and
right.
I know you worked with college teams, but you really got into it, or you talked with Phil Jackson about working with the Chicago Bulls, and just talk
about
how you got involved with that.
Well, I got involved in it. I was working in a stress reduction clinic, and my bosses knew Phil, and Phil was keen on bringing in people to help the team. Working on their personal development, and this is 1993, they had just won their third NBA championship, and he recognized the need for them to learn how to deal with the stress of success. So I was a perfect candidate to come in and to work with the team. So the idea was for me to go in training camp and to work with them on that. And in the meantime, in between us deciding that I would come in and do that, Michael Jordan retired. So by the time I went there in October of 93, they were in full-blown crisis. Mm. And so I went in and did what I could do, and the rest is history. We developed a relationship, and the guys responded well to what I had to offer, and I continued to work with him for, I guess, the next 9 years.
You had a lot of nice things to say. I read in an article about Michael Jordan and his approach to it, his acceptance, I guess, of your teachings. And have you found that some of the better players that you've worked with have been more accepting maybe than some others, or maybe those guys that you might think would reject it or say, hey, I don't need it, have been really accepting and welcoming of it?
Yes, what I've found is I'm fond of saying is what I do is not for those who need it. It's for those who want it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for whatever reason, guys like Michael Kobe, even over in the premiership when I worked with the soccer players, the elite players seem to gravitate towards it, because even in college, we're going to have BC, the most successful athletes are the ones that normally buy into it, and they're looking for an edge. They're looking for that edge, and they understand that the mental game is what separates the men from the boys.
And recently you worked with the Lakers. And that's what, on one of the broadcasts about 2 weeks ago, everyone's kind of been, understand all the ups and downs the Lakers have had this season after winning two championships. But can you talk about specifically when you went and worked with the Lakers here recently, what it is that Phil Jackson wanted you to get across to the guys?
Well, it's basically this idea of what we call mindfulness, being mindful of the moment and learning how to manage the moment, how to be in the moment, and so mentally to not get distracted, but to stay on task, and to really, just be in the moment. I don't know how else to say it. It's that simple. The mental training that's involved in allowing one to be present to one's experience and to be focused more on what you're doing than on how you're doing.
Now, Phil understands. For you being a Boston guy to go work with the Lakers, is he worried that you're going to try to do something to ensure that the Celtics have a chance to win it this season? Does he know he's sending an enemy behind the lines?
Well, put it this way. I won three championships with them, or six with him, right, and his staff. So it's a little bit more than that, and I'm not, the Celtics aren't interested in working with me, so I don't see any conflict.
Loyal man.
I do.
It's really, if Kevin and the guys want me to work with them and Shaq, I work with them.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. And then I wouldn't have any problem saying, okay, it's my client and it's confidentiality and conflict of interest or whatever. But none of that exists. I don't have any. It was more as a favor for a friend. I mean, he's a friend. Just like if a friend asks you something to do something, you do it.
My friends won't do anything for me most of the time. I need new friends, George. That's my
problem. Okay, well, there you go. That's telling you something.
Exactly. George Mumford joining us in the zone, a sports psychologist who's worked with some of the best in the business. Now, you've been around. Pat was telling me you were a roommate of Dr. J's. You've been around three of the most I guess, exciting players of all time with him and Jordan and Kobe. Is there a thread that you see among those guys that is similar, or what kinds of similarities did you see being around those three fellas?
Yes. I was just talking to a friend about that. Very intelligent, very smart, above average intelligence, but drive, the will to win, the will to be the best, paying attention to the inner game or the mental game, very mentally strong and able to concentrate, focus, but also understanding who they are and what their strengths are and how to play to their strengths. So there's a common thread, yes, and observing them develop and understanding what it takes to compete at a high level is what I call the inner game, or, you know, having mental fitness. They all have that. And it's interesting because I think, from my vantage point, because I've been around Dr. J when he was developing, and seeing him expressing himself and coming out and always being amazed at what he was going to do next, because there didn't seem to be any limit to how he could evolve. Mm-hmm. And then having that experience with Michael and then with Kobe, I feel pretty blessed that I'm able to not only teach how to perform at an elite level, but actually observing people who have actually embodied that and studied that. And so obviously I had the opportunity to work with them and ask them questions and observe things in a way that helped me to pass on that knowledge to other people. So, yeah, the common thread is just being really good people, really smart, being fundamentally sound, both physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and having a lot of support from family and friends.
George, my next question could elicit a relatively lengthy answer, but just maybe a couple of options for folks. If you were going to suggest to our listeners, whether it's sports related or otherwise, you know, obviously your teachings and your philosophy, you know, far reach beyond just sports psychology. But what are a couple sources you would suggest for people to seek out, maybe if they're trying to find some advantages, maybe in their everyday life?
Yes, well, it's to the degree that we can be in a moment and just focus on what's happening while it's happening. I mean, that's huge. I can't tell you. It changes the whole experience. Just whether it's learning how to meditate or learning how to just really, lock into what you're doing while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. It's there's a lot of books out there on philosophy as well as teachings in terms of what it means to be a human being, what it means, you know, how the brain works. There's a lot of stuff in neuroscience that talks about how you focus attention and how you can rewire your brain just by how you attend to things and what you attend to. So if you're a concert pianist, there's a certain part of your brain that's going to be overly developed, predicated on how you use your body and your mind. So, yeah, I guess it doesn't matter what you do. If you want to really be good at it, you gotta know who you are and how to use what you have. And that's like being real clear about how the brain and the nervous system works and how this mind-body process interact with each other. I don't know how to say it. I'm trying to say it as simply as I can.
No, that's good. Sports psychologist George Mumford joining us. And finally, I got to ask you, since you've just been around the Lakers, are they primed mentally for the three-peat?
Yes.
Oh no, George!
Yes, and if they won't, because I'll tell you why I'm saying
that. I got money on the Celtics. This is killing.
Okay, that's okay. Well, you have the right to lose your money any way you see fit. To me, it's how you approach things. The fact that they're getting back to basics, like playing defense and getting their minds right for the run. Mm-hmm. But that's why I'm saying that. The fact that he asked me to come in and do some things with the team, and I know what the process entails, and they get mentally straight. And what people don't understand is people look at what's happening now, but you have to understand they got six new players. That takes 2 years to learn that system, and that they're going to get better as the year goes on. And Phil knows how to get them primed for the playoffs. And they're veterans. They know what they need to do to win. And I saw the game last night, and they're getting Joe Smith out there, and he You know, he doesn't know the system, but he can play defense.
Mm-hmm.
He can make shots.
Yeah.
So that's what it's going to come down to. They get Ron straight and the other guys, and it's them and the Celtics, baby. That's what I say. But I'll say this year is different because they got the big Shaq daddy there. They were to lose, if they were to lose to the Celtics, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
The big Shamrock. It was funny. We probably played the clip about Ron Artest thanking his psychologist after they won the championship. Was that last year or the first? I guess it was last
after
year.
After the championship. it was 2010.
Yeah, he thanks his psychologist in the post-game press conference when he had, I think he had one of his, couple of his kids sitting up there at the podium with him. But it just goes to show you how important you guys are. George,
well, let's put it to you this
you.
Way. Everybody else, it was chaos, and everybody else couldn't handle the chaos, but Ron was right at home in the chaos.
Yeah. Right. No one knows chaos like Ron, for sure.
Hey, there you go. And so, like I said, that's why you can't count anybody out until a fat lady sings. So, but my money's on the Celtics and the Lakers being in the finals.
All right.
We like that, George. I appreciate you coming
on.
Yeah,
of course I'm a little biased when I say that. But.
Obviously, but that's cool.
That's the way it is.
I got it. George, we appreciate you very much coming
in
today.
I appreciate the invite, and you guys keep doing what you're doing because, you know, that's D. Fish's hood there where you guys are. So
yes,
he's one of my main men.
Well, good. How's his mental advantage?
Man, you never have to worry about that guy. That guy is professional, solid as a rock, and people keep doubting him, and he keeps winning. So, you know, he's not worried about what people say. So he's gonna be fine when the time comes.
That does not surprise me at all.
Yeah, he's the man. We love him.
George.
Yeah,
Mulford.
Well, it must be. Maybe it's something about being down there. Maybe that's how people are down in that area of the country. I don't know.
We're strong.
George, we're the toughest of all times. There's no doubt about it. Tough as a $2
steak.
Yeah,
but I'm biased. I know Fish, and if people are like him, then they got it going on.
I like
that.
Well,
come on down here and see us. We'll have you in studio
next
time.
Okay, well, invite me down. Send me a ticket. I'll be down.
you take care of the ticket. I'll take care of everything else.
Bus,
okay.
Is Greyhound
right.
Okay?
And now, if you ain't got no first class or business class, man, you know, I'm used to hanging with the big boys, so take care of me.
All right, George.
That's what I'm used to. I'm messing with you, man.
No.
We're going to scrape our nickels together and get you down here.
Yeah, we're going to lick them.
If I have occasion to come down here, I'll swing by and see you.
I got some employees I need you to work on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Sounds good, fellas.
George, we appreciate you
very
much.
Hey, thanks, George.
Have a good one.